Today is the March 29th meeting of the American Rescue Plan Act Special Committee. What? It is 10:04 a.m. and I would ask our clerk to call the roll.
Chairman Criswell?
Here.
Legislator Corcoran?
Here.
Legislator Levine? Legislator Lopez? Legislator Sperry?
Present.
Chair Bartels?
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody had a moment to look at the minutes from the March 8 meeting. Could I get a motion to... are there any corrections or any questions about that? Could I get a motion?
Motion.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor of approval?
Aye.
Aye. Great. All right, and we have the ARPA admin team here with us today to give us an update on projects. Before you jump in, I had one question that was outstanding. We had discussed reaching out to municipalities to get a little bit of sense of their interest in the solar project, and I wondered if that was able to happen.
I'm sorry, we haven't.
Okay, I just wanted to understand that before we actually talk about that resolution today. So, okay, floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. All right, so I think top of our list is, as far as priorities go for our division, is sewer and water. We are basically allocating as much time as possible to that. We are aiming for four for April, and a goal of five for May. So, you know, we're doing as much as we can on that.
And remind us the total number again?
There's 12 in the first round. There is, of course, a second round, which is under review, but no awards currently. And
how much interest did you get in that second round?
We got one application.
One, okay.
So for the first round, you know, the real push is getting all of the contracts drafted and resolutions in. And we have two that are approved by the legislature for contracts and resolutions. We have one of those signed currently. We have a third for Town of Ulster in front of the legislature. And we have four that we're working on in our office. We hope to get in for April executive deadline to go to the legislature in May. And then we would hope to do all the rest in May for June.
Great.
Can you tell us the four of those? I'm sorry.
Can we just note that Legislator Lopez and Legislator Stewart have joined us, as well as Legislator Petit? Thank you.
Yep. So we are determining the four, and we are definitely looking at, you know, I don't know if it's appropriate to say exactly what we're working on, but... we are working on four, and we look forward to getting those in as soon as we can.
Is it still possible to get an email out to the awardees on the process? Because again, my supervisor still has no idea what's going on.
Great.
And I've explained the process that we had to go through contracts and resolutions, and there was going to be minimum amount approved per session. But right now, the supervisors are kind of, at least my supervisor's calling me saying, where is it? We were approved months ago. What's the process? We're waiting for our money. Our project is done. So they're still wondering. So I'm feeding them the information as I get it, but maybe an email to all the awardees letting them know that the process is still, even though they've been awarded months ago, there's still contracts and resolutions to be passed before the money's actually allocated.
Right. And that's fine. We'll definitely do an update email. I also think that there's different levels of complexity with each application in each project. I'm not a sewer and water expert, but and I only want to dive as deep as we have to. We did the first three resolutions, I think, made sense because they were all for replacement of water tanks, so we wanted to do those together. I think there will be a preference for those that are a bit more project ready and have documents together, because it's just, particularly for April, it's easier to put the contract together within that time frame. We're also looking at, we're trying to, you know, get to review of as many as possible to try to identify, you know, whether or not there's a prior resolution from a town on their seeker determination, for example, so that we get a copy of that resolution and it's just one less thing that needs to go into the contract. We know it's done. So I think we're going to be reaching out to towns individually on those specific needs, and I think for those that we review and then decide that there's questions we have, they will more likely be for May, because that'll give the towns time to respond and us to get what we need, and then we'll...
Yeah, the information in their hands would be, you know, prevalent to get those resolutions done if it need be, you know, now.
Right, and so, and every town needs to do their own resolution for the contract, so kind of our push, yeah, we will be doing a lot of communications, I think, eventually with all the towns, particularly because we need to get them ready to do the resolution, and we need to give them the contract, you know, a draft contract,
right,
so that it can go in front of the board. And so, really, I think the big push is on to draft the contract and have them be fairly complete so that there's no, you know, so that there's a, when it, for board approval for the town and for, you know, after legislative approval here, there's minimal amendments that, you know, would go in. That's what we're trying to do.
Chair Bartels?
So, is there any way to get an, let me begin by echoing Legislator Corcoran's suggestion that communication, particularly with municipalities, I think is critical, but this is sort of a theme across all ARPA projects. I've been engaged and listening with Economic Director Wiedemann and the group that's looking at the business grants. You know, those applications were put in a long time ago, and now we have businesses wondering, did I get it? Did I not get it? And we're going through a process that takes time, but there's no communication. So even in that group, we suggested, why not reach out to everyone that applied and say, we're still working through the applications, just so that everyone who applied could say, okay, this is still ongoing. I'm still in the running, versus wondering, you know, where we're at. And with our municipalities, particularly because, you know, you've got representatives from each municipality in the body, I think even just a check-in with each municipality that's been approved of the process would, like, now is definitely the time. Is there any way we can get an update of, like, the status of each municipality in terms of contracting and where they are in the project? You said your municipality is finished with their project?
Finishing up. Yes.
It's a
right.
Part of that tracker that we created. So.
Yes, thank you. Our progress tracker has one sheet that does have, it's a sewer and water, you know, there's about five different sheets in that, mm-hmm. So I understand that you gotta find it and click through, but we are updating that, and I know it really only shows progress on three contracts currently, because there's four that we're working on for April that haven't been drafted yet, but that's what we're going for.
So I mean more than progress on contracts, I mean progress on projects. Like, I would be interested to know that Marlboro's project is nearing completion, independent of whether where we're at with the contract, mm-hmm. because that would say to me, that would bump that up to me of why, like, we got to prioritize getting that through, communication with the others, but getting it through. So it's like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I can attend this meeting, and I can look at that tracker and have no idea where any of those projects are at. All of them could be in infancy stage and not even executed anything yet, or all of them could be done and have expended the money and be waiting for a force back.
Would it be helpful to add, I'm sorry to say this, add a column that just says project status, you know, and so in the tracker itself it will say project complete, project a quarter way done, or project just in its beginning stage, or whatever it is. That way you could look at every single one and see where it's at. Is that something that your team
would know? It's possible. there is a complexity to these projects, and I think it's appropriate to. So there's going to be like, and we're learning. Please understand, like we're not sewer and water professionals, so we are learning, and we're glad for the help. But there's Department of Health approvals on both the county level and sometimes the state level potentially. There is, there's going to need to be approval from, you know, in most cases, I think lead agency will be with the town or the municipality. So there's seeker approvals as well. Potentially there's DEC approval on projects.
So I don't want you to have
to get so deep into it, but what
I think you could do is provide us a not started, in process, completed. Even if we have those three bits of understanding, that would be helpful to...
I guess maybe if I could follow up. So the contracts, at what state are... Is there a stage at which we're contracting, or is it irrelevant at what stage the project is? If it's been approved...
They've been awarded. So unless there's something like... that makes them ineligible for status that wasn't realized,
mm-hmm.
which we have not seen in any way. They are all moving towards contract. We can't disperse until there's a contract. So that's really what people need, for the money, and that's why the contracts become so important. And it's also the
regardless of where they're at in the actual project itself.
Without a signed contract with the county, finance can't disperse.
Right. No, I understand that,
yeah.
But I think what the chair is asking is the contract, we know that we can't disperse funds without a contract, but the contract doesn't get executed. There's the execution of the contract is not reliant on a certain stage of the project.
That's what I'm asking.
The disbursement of the money, a contract can contemplate disbursement of the money after completion, or at 50%, or at 25%, a contract...
Or at zero.
Or at
you
zero.
You could give the money at first
the disbursement,
to build it. Yeah.
That's all a detail in contracting, mm-hmm. but
right.
I guess I'm trying
we
to wrap my head.
We don't want to hold projects up. I mean, we really don't. And so it's one reason why there's such a big push on, and where the contract could hold up a project is if they're... is a real need for the $500,000, and there's not another source that can be utilized in the meantime while they're waiting for the contract. And that's where there's a real potential hurt to municipalities, which we don't want to do. So we are really...
Particularly in spring.
Yeah.
We have spoken to some of the municipalities or heard from them, and so they've indicated a need that they're moving on the project and they're looking for the money in a more timely manner. We've worked with them to move their contract along a little faster, whereas some of the projects I know aren't at the same stage, so if they come a little bit later in the process, they're still okay. So kind of prioritizing, we have talked to some municipalities.
I would say some, because not ours.
Not all of them.
Because again, our engineering's done, our bids have gone out, we've mm-hmm. awarded our bids, they're starting this week, so that's where our project is, I just confirmed.
Great.
When I say we were done with everything, the bid mm-hmm. process, the engineering, and the bid awards are this week. So they're giving the bid awards this week, and they're starting next week. So that's where we are. And again, my supervisor keeps hounding me.
Yep.
Fortunately, he's my brother, but he keeps hounding me.
Corcoranville.
And he keeps hounding me, where's the money? Because I think it's going to be a point where we are going to, at some point, run short. So again, I just don't want to see my money come through in October. You know, I mean, we say
we do not
four are coming. You know, we have 12 awarded, three went through resolution contract. And that's why I asked, you know, who are the next four? Because I think
every contract should be in round one, should be going through, be submitted in May.
That's our goal.
So
absolutely.
That is the goal.
May, okay.
It's four, and remember that's May submission for June legislature approval at the earliest, and then we have to sign it. So we are looking forward at the timeline, and obviously everything backs up, and the sooner we get it drafted, the sooner we can submit the resolution, the sooner we can get it in front of the legislature for approval, the sooner it can be signed. So
right, so it can come in the fall. The money can be
not if we meet late May for all resolutions.
So like July payment, August payment, something like that?
August at the
fall.
Latest, I hope, to be honest.
I mean, I could speak to that.
And then
legislature. Those contracts, for example, the Lloyd contract that just was passed, I mean, it comes to my desk super quickly once it's passed. I mean, within the week, typically. So
okay.
I would imagine that.
And then it just has to go through the process of
right.
actual payment.
Yeah. Okay.
We've been able to get Lloyd, we've been able to get, and I know it's the Quality Inn contract, it's not within the Sewer and Water Awards, but, you know, those are both going to Chair Bartels if you haven't already signed. So.
I already did Lloyd, I don't
okay.
know if I saw Quality Inn yet.
Legislator Stewart.
In addition to the issue with the contracts, I'm also hearing from town supervisors regarding just getting applications out. I have a Parks resolution that was passed by ARPA, and I was told on numerous occasions that those applications will be going out in the first quarter, and we've already missed the first quarter, and to my knowledge, those applications have yet to go out. So I was wondering if when you're giving us a present, a rundown of where the contracts stand, if we could also get a rundown of where applications stand as well.
Yeah.
They're actually due on the 14th
well,
of April.
I'm sorry, I stand corrected. I just was told by two of my colleagues that those applications actually did go out. I was unaware of that.
When did they
go out? April 14th is the deadline. I just want to make sure everybody heard that. So
when did they go out?
It was during NYFAC, I think it was.
Yeah.
But it's been 3-4 weeks. We've been working on that contract right now. Our engineers have it.
And I think we also
a lot of questions. Honestly, they said that was it was for a park. They thought it was a little difficult. It is what it is. But yeah, we've been working on it for the last
11th
3 weeks.
The 27th or 28th of February.
Can someone forward that application to me just so that I can actually send it out to all legislators to remind legislators to talk to their. A lot's been going on, obviously.
Yeah.
But
yep.
So that wasn't high on my list, but I just want to make sure that we all talk
yeah,
to all
can,
of our
we can have that sent to the committee
yeah.
as well as... Yeah.
And can I get a copy of that, too?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'll send it to Ian. I'll
go to the whole body.
Pop it up for everyone.
Yeah, and I also, if I can, I just want to give a plug as well that it is on the ARPA website. So it's that is part of the county website, but if you go to Ulster... I always just do Ulster County ARPA, and it comes up. That's the easiest way I know to get to the website, but the application is available on the web.
Okay,
so.
Chair Bartels.
Since that's a municipal application, I feel it should have been sent to every municipality.
Which we also did.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
We sent emails.
It was still on the 27th of February.
Yeah. Great.
And I think we also copied legislative emails as well.
Yeah, we sent it to Vicki, and she forwarded it to us.
Got it.
Great, thank you. All right, please continue on.
Sure. Those are the biggest ones, and I think it's very helpful to get an idea of where our priorities are, because that's what we're trying to do first. And obviously, there's going to be other things that are coming that are needed. So some quick updates. 368 Broadway, I know that the fourth floor is getting worked on from DPW, so that renovation is happening. There has been, so for the Crisis Stabilization Center, this has been longstanding, but there has been award for the operator, and there is a process going on now where the operator is speaking with the state. It's a prior consult, which is a process I don't fully know yet, but is an important step, I understand, to work with the state and get this going. Mental health for kids in schools, the project's going well. 50 kids are signed up. I spoke to Department of Mental Health yesterday. They're happy with the contractor, LaSalle. So I'm hearing
and I did see that the opioid monies are going to complement the monies that we put into that. Did you see that? The opioid settlement monies, a portion of that's going to this same project.
Yep. All true.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question on the mental health at schools. Are you able to provide kind of just a breakdown on is this kind of are we seeing interest and students from all districts kind of geographically around the county? Are we seeing kind of a broad distribution, or are we kind of more targeted in one area through so far?
I don't have the exact answer.
Okay.
I would expect yes, but I don't have.
But we do answer. We do have the teams covering all.
I think it's open to the. All school districts.
My guess would be Deputy Executive Contreras could answer that,
more
fully. Thank you. And my understanding is there is additional reporting on the mental health ARPA projects that is going to Health and Human Services Committee, which I'm on vacation next week, but I'm thinking about maybe attending.
Was the vacation baked into any of this?
Well, I appreciate just obviously.
Iceland?
Obviously, it's. In light of recent events, we see the importance of mental health in our school district. So this is a critical program, and I hope to see it as utilized as it possibly can be. So I just wanted to get a follow up on that, but I will follow up with Deputy Executive Contreras. So
great.
Thank you,
Chair Bartels.
Can I ask a question about the tracker, the specific tracker?
Sure.
Maybe
yeah.
Just so I can understand. So when
I'm gonna stop you for a second. So that's not their tracker that we're talking about. So there's two trackers. So that tracker that you're looking at is Amber creates that. So that's from the clerk side. The tracker I'm talking about is Nate has a very complicated spreadsheet that was presented to us with multiple tabs.
It can
tabs.
Be up on that if we want to look at it.
It's a much more detailed. Each project is laid out. Different components of each project is laid out. So we've got two different things going on here.
Okay, I feel like then I probably need to talk to Amber, because I'm just, this value doesn't always coincide with resolution values. So that's what I'm trying to understand.
Do you have one in particular that you're talking about?
Yeah, for example, like brownfields redevelopment. Let's just look at that one for a second.
Mm-hmm.
It says brownfields redevelopment, 136,666 approved for phase one and phase two site assessment.
Yeah, so.
And then she writes $750,000. What's the
$750,000?
Yeah,
so $750,000 has been approved. The capital project, this is in the capital projects, has been funded in the amount of $750,000 for the brownfields capital project program. And then I believe the 136,666 is for contract approvals because there has been.
What's the resolution number? What's the capital project you're referring to?
I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I can maybe pull it up fairly quickly.
And a musical interlude.
It is in the tracker.
A little Miley Cyrus there.
I mean, when you say it's approved by the council, you're saying it was approved.
Yeah, because what we're doing is we're doing a bunch of things in these trackers. So we're saying that we've allocated X amount of money. We're saying that we've contracted X amount of money, and we've spent X amount of money, right? And so what this tracker that you're looking at, Chair Bartels, is really just the allocated funds. And then in Nate's tracker, we're looking at the other two pieces.
Right.
That I
and the last sheet of the progress tracker, which is the one we do, has a lot of these details, project details. And so for brownfields, there was resolution 165, and then it's capital project 629.
Resolution 165 of what?
I don't break it down by year, and that is actually starting to get a little complicated, but I believe it was 2022.
I think it was two. And
I have a more detailed tracker for our own use, and
okay.
I'm starting to break it out by year.
And that's for the 750, right?
Correct.
Yep.
That's what I believe, yes.
Right. Okay. You want to continue on?
Sure. So small business, that I did hear from economic development briefly, and that is with the committee, and so it's under review. There are no awards currently, but they hope that the committee will have gone through its process and that awards could potentially go out in April.
So that is a little bit of a timeline.
Would it be easy enough to send a blanket email to everybody and say we're still in this process, we're hoping for, you know, by April 15th to let you know, or
pick
a date?
Sure, I'm going to leave that to the subrecipient you see to do that, but
okay.
I can certainly...
If you could ask
that
them
to
do
that.
That
was already communicated.
That was?
That was already communicated to CETA, and
okay.
then they have already done it.
Okay.
Because at the last meeting, the members raised, including me, raised
okay.
my suggestion. I'm not a member, but I attend the meeting.
Great.
I do want to say...
Can somebody follow up to see that you see it actually did that? That would
be
great.
There's a meeting tomorrow, so
okay.
I'll make sure.
Perfect. Okay. So Chair Bartels.
We have three legislative representatives on that committee: legislators Gavaris, Roberts, and Hewitt.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say there were 180 applications, and every application needed to be reviewed and scored. So it was something like a minimum of 40 hours of real work.
Yeah.
For those members and the other members
mm-hmm.
Appointed by the executive side, so I'm really grateful to them all. My understanding is that they've all gotten through the applications. I did a test set
mm-hmm.
and had anticipated doing the full set just to be extra, but I did not do it. it was a major commitment. So so again, I.
And
every chance I get, I express my gratitude.
Remind me what the max award is for that. Is it 50?
I think it was
35.
35, okay. Good.
Just a point of clarification to the chair. I looking at the calendar, I think the USITA meeting was rescheduled.
It's not the USITA meeting, it's not a commit. It wouldn't be in the calendar because it's not a like an actual committee. It's the equivalent of a working group.
Oh, okay.
So
yep.
I believe it's tomorrow.
Got it.
My mistake.
No
okay. I'm just looking at the calendar here, and
it's
big and red.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, Legislator.
Thank you. Director Litwin, you'd mentioned an operator has been awarded a contract at 368 Broadway. Can you identify them at this point?
Yeah, I People USA.
Thank you.
Can I just say something? It's pertinent because I was just approached by People USA to do video work for them separately, and the person that is my contact there is willing to give us a tour at their Rose House in Walden.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody's interested, let me know and we'll coordinate a tour so that we can all go check it out, because that's kind of what we want to replicate in our two respite houses.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Okay.
Great. All right, I'm going to move us along.
No problem.
Do you have anything else
to say?
Oh,
there's always updates.
I know.
There is, but I hit a lot of the high points, I think.
That's so great. Does anybody have any other burning questions for Nate or the team here? Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
All right, if I don't hear any further questions, I'm going to move us along a little bit. So, next on our agenda is the ARPA tracker, so... Does anybody have any questions on this other than what Legislator Bartels was asking? You can see that we are getting to the ends of these funds as we talk about the last bits of allocation here. And at some point we will again see a return, you know, when things start to... I'm expecting that we're not going to start to really see that though until... several months down the line, you know, fall, something like that. Remember we talked about when things haven't cost us what we thought they were going to cost, or certain projects haven't moved forward, that there would be eventually a return to this bucket of
unused
funding, unused funds. We've got to come up with a good name for it, because we just keep sort of referencing it, but we don't have a name. So I'm assuming that is going to actually happen at some point, but not for a little while until
yeah.
we get a better sense of what isn't funded or what actual costs are coming in.
So there's capital project rollovers that are happening from 2022 to 2023, and so that is part of, I'm learning that a little bit, but that is part of the process, and so we are starting to go through those. Yeah.
So at some point we're going to add a line to this tracker, which is like refunds or whatever we ended up calling it.
Piggy bank.
Yeah, the ARPA piggy bank.
Chair Bartels.
Yeah, a couple things. I think, one, we're going to have to be mindful of time, just in terms of the timing whereby the money has to be committed, but mm-hmm. also the timing whereby the money has to be expended,
right.
knowing that the both are interconnected,
yeah.
especially as it relates to the money coming back, and also money that we've committed but maybe hasn't been expended, which
right.
is why expediting things
absolutely.
Is so critical.
So my understanding is 24, right,
yep.
is the
commitment
and then spent by 26, yeah, exactly.
But again, because you have to commit by 24, if it doesn't get expended by 26 and it's committed and we're waiting
yeah.
on it's being expended, we have to have a reasonable, you know, belief that it will be expended by 26.
Yeah.
I also just want to say, and we don't have to spend a ton of time talking about it right now, but I'm very curious to know about revisions in reporting, per se, because, for example, there are projects that we funded through ARPA that didn't necessarily have to be funded through ARPA. Like, we talked about the latitude, especially early on, of ARPA funds being able to be used for things that we can't otherwise do,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, we're allowed to do things with ARPA funds that we wouldn't, in any other form
mm-hmm.
of county government, be allowed to spend money on,
mm-hmm.
right, in terms
mm-hmm.
of giving grants or et cetera.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
But we did spend some money on things, and there was some pushback on some things that we can spend county money on,
mm-hmm.
like salaries,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, we don't have to spend ARPA funds on salaries,
right.
and I'm not just talking about the ARPA division, I'm
right.
talking about the 311 division,
sure.
overtime COVID pay, et cetera.
Sure.
And so one thing that I'm curious about, and I think we should have a deeper discussion about, not necessarily today, is in the event that an opportunity comes up, or as we're analyzing our expenditures and we realize a failing or a shortfall in one of the things that we wanted to fund,
mm-hmm.
would we have the opportunity to revise previous expenditures
mm-hmm.
to utilize county funds for things that we're allowed to use county funds for, to withdraw it as an ARPA project
yeah.
and expend those funds on something. And
yeah.
and I think that latitude that we have for ARPA necessitates that we have that conversation.
It'd be interesting to identify what we could do that for, you know, like what should
yeah.
the expenses, you know.
All of the pay
yeah,
allocations.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the first three lines
yep.
plus the information services line
yep.
plus the administrative positions
yep.
plus the ag position. Again,
yep.
Those are the easiest to identify,
right.
but I'm sure there are others. And again, I'm not suggesting that we automatically do it, but I do think that this committee has to have a serious discussion about where we've fallen short from our intentions in terms of those aspects of
mm-hmm.
needs.
Mm-hmm.
that we wanted to address.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask Amber to actually identify all those potential reversals and just see where it lands, you know, what the total is there. You know, are we talking $500,000? Are we talking $2 million?
But then further to
mm-hmm.
confirm that we can do it, that we can make revisions to. I don't
right.
know what kind of reporting this requires, so I don't know. Like, does it only
yeah.
matter that by the end of 24 we're accurate, or
mm-hmm.
or is it... Are we allowed to amend reporting? Again, I'm
good
not
question.
Asking for the answer this minute.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I do want to say, like, of course, there's the U.S. Treasury reporting, which happens approximately 30 days after the end of every quarter. So it's easy to kind of remember from the calendar year that way. We have our next report on April 30th. Just briefly, we have about $12 million reported as obligated, and we have about $6 million reported as expended at this point. But remember, that goes back to a report that was for the last quarter of 2022. So April 30th, we'll be reporting on the three first months of 2023. And all those numbers are shared, are put on the website, are put on the progress tracker. So they're always running a little bit behind, a few months behind approximately, because of the reporting structure. But I think when we put all those numbers out to the public, that's the easiest way to be like, yep, this is as solid as it comes.
But if we wanted to, like, when you amend your tax return, you know, could we do that same type of thing, an amendment? Say we took the whole ARPA team salary and decided to use county funds for that rather than ARPA funds. Could we actually do that as an amendment with the reporting that you do to the federal government?
Yeah.
Well, there is a, I don't know that we've had to do many amendments, but I know that there is a process for it. Yeah, it is.
If it hasn't been extended, even if it has, you can amend the expenditures. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
okay.
A little messy, but yeah.
All right.
And
I would be careful of it. I've just because.
Okay.
May I ask why? What means when you say only $12 million has been obligated? Can you define what obligated
is
per?
Yes.
Okay.
Those two things, expended and obligated, are like the two terms that the federal government and the U.S. Treasury uses.
And let me just add one thing.
And there's so many terms.
So we use the term allocated. So
yes.
There's allocated, obligated, and expended.
We use allocated.
We use allocated.
Okay.
They use obligated and expended.
So what do they mean by obligated?
So there is actually like a federal definition of an obligated. Of course, I can't do it verbatim, but I know where it is in the uniform guidance. And the way we've interpreted it after looking at the definition is, particularly for a subrecipient, there would be a contract and there'd be a PO. Because then we know we got it's in the county system.
So our process really is allocated. We've allocated this money up to this number here, $31 million. And then it gets obligated through our process of resolutions and contracts, and then it gets allocated when a check is cut.
Not allocated, expended.
Sorry. Yes, that's the word I meant. But that's the process here, right? Correct?
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, it's a little confusing, but so what we're talking about with reversals, could we do a reversal even after it gets expended?
There is a
I'd have to look, but I think so. I think there's a way to amend expenditures. The way that it works is that I can't necessarily edit previous reports, but on a report like the April report, I can edit the obligated amount for a project. So if it's going to obligate zero, it would still be on there, because that's just the way the Treasury works. But we can obligate zero, and then for spent zero on the project.
Got it.
Yeah, and I would think expenditures gets a lot harder, because if that money has been, a check's been cut of ARPA funds and given over and then, you know, been paid.
Yeah,
then
so I don't know if you can reimburse like ARPA funds, so like what's already been paid to the ARPA team, but like going forward you can change the overall expenditure and like obligated amount for that program.
Okay.
I mean, I would definitely want a final definitive answer on that, because I don't, because like ARPA funds, like that's a, we make them ARPA funds. For example, in terms of paying, let's use, rather than people sitting right here, let's use information services.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to use ARPA funds for that.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely could have just used county funds, and there was a pushback on it.
Right.
So it's like, it was a reasonable county expense. The county department that arguably existed to some degree before, like that they were building before.
Right.
So, but we decided we wanted to make it ARPA funds because we wanted to time limit it.
Right.
And so the question really is, could we retroactively say, you know what, rather than dedicate ARPA funds to that, in our reporting, we're going to utilize county funds for that, which frees up ARPA funds.
Well, my question is, has it already been expended?
It's already been expended, but again, we're talking about the expenditure in relation to reporting, not in relation to
right. It's not like there's a separate bank account
exactly,
that we're drawing.
I
totally get what you're saying. That's what I'm just wondering. Are we technically allowed to do that, even if we spent the money according to our own categorization of it as an ARPA fund? Can we go back and say, no, we're actually going to categorize this as a county fund?
Right.
I think if we're looking at doing this, I just kind of want to advise, if I can, It probably Ken Juris, interim commissioner of finance.
Yeah,
so there's really some details to look at because there's a complexity question.
Right. But I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to dig into this a little bit more with Amber. We'll have a conversation about this, I'll get some answers by the next meeting for you all about this.
Okay?
All right, great. I'm going to move us along a little bit. All right. We have resolutions. Could I have a motion for discussion for Resolution 78, please?
Motion to discuss.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Great. And so... do you want to give us a little bit of an update on this, Tom? Legislator Corcoran?
We reduced it to help fit within the monies available to $2.5 million and reduced the municipality's match to $100,000 down from $125,000. So
and I just want to mention then that would be as presented before you. So it's that. Thank you for doing that, and it is. We're discussing it as presented.
Right. So with that said, I'll just echo what I had said last meeting, that it's a good project. I mean, again, unlike water, sewer, and some of the other ones where you need engineering done, you need a bid process done, you need big packages to go out, they have to be awarded. It's a fairly, in my eyes, what we've gone through, a simple process. You know, whether the project is ready to go, again, and mine is, it's already ready to go, something that we would not be able to fund, makes it fundable on our new recreation center roof that we'll put the solar on, completely go electric, take a $320,000 project, and with the ARPA funding, bring the municipality's money into about $90,000. Mm-hmm. So it makes it affordable. Here, again, I don't think the process is as difficult as it would be like on a water and sewer project. There's really no engineering, no bid. It's just a matter of getting a couple solar companies in, prevailing wage, pricing it out for you, and there it is. Here's the rebates from the government. Here's your portion, and if you could match it with county funding, with ARPA funding, this is your bottom line number, and that project should be ready to go fairly quick.
Thank you. I did want to mention that the scores did come back, and it got 70%, which the scoring for ARPA, it's really hard to get a score that's, you know, higher than 80%. It's almost impossible. So 70% is actually quite a good score. It got 77% on the goals and mission, 64% on equity distribution, 79% on community impact, 55% on financial management, which gave it a 70%. And I think the comments were very positive as well, and that will all go out to committees. So, Chair Bartels.
Couple things. First, a question just on something you just said. When you say there's no bid, you do in each municipality, I'm assuming you have to get three
estimates,
proposals.
Correct, but no bid process where there's an engineer putting together a bid process, bid package, out to bid net, people to go through the process. I think it expedites the process with just getting three bids. Three solar companies come in,
right,
and within a week you've got three bids.
Three proposals, and then compare the
proposals and which one works best for you, and then the numbers are fairly simple. They're right in front of you. There's really nothing. There's nothing to.
And and again, another question, and then I have a bunch of comments. Are we differentiating in this? I'm assuming that in all these cases, the municipalities are going to own the project. That it's not that they're, because there are those two different ways of doing it where you can own you pay to own it outright, or you're basically leasing it from the solar company.
To the best of my mind, this would be a purchase, and then if the municipality had to finance or bond, that would be on them.
That's something that we should talk about when it gets into contract.
So that's my first comment, that I think we need to be specific that these are going to be municipally owned projects,
right,
not that they're leased projects.
Yep.
Sometimes those kinds of proposals, and I have no familiarity with from a municipal perspective, but on a private citizen,
mm-hmm,
perspective, sometimes the presentations as it relates to, I don't know if they're called leasebacks or what, essentially,
mm-hmm,
they're more attractive because there's less upfront cost.
Right.
But if we're going to fund something, I think they need to be municipally owned. My second comment has to do with the fact that now we know from the Infrastructure Act that there's a 30 municipalities for the first time ever, which is very exciting for municipalities and for us, for the county as a municipality, can receive 30% of the total cost of the project as a rebate. I don't fully understand how that works, if it's a direct rebate or tax rebate, but it's realized as a real 30% benefit to the municipality. And so that, I think, requires that we have a conversation, because if you take the 30% off the 100% cost of the project, then you're down to 70%, which means that I think what this is proposing is that the county pay more for the project than the municipality, which I think we should be splitting it rather than, mm-hmm. we should be 50-50, which I think was initially the intent, maybe.
That is the intent.
So we should be 50-50 with the municipality of the, not of the total cost,
right.
but of the cost to the municipality.
Maybe we can add that language in that just says 50%,
well,
50% of the cost after if we add after any potential federal
right.
infrastructure
rebates.
Yeah. Right. Is that something that we can easily add into?
Well, we'd have to edit, because right now it says of the total cost.
Got it.
Yeah. Right. So the total cost would be the total cost to the municipality. So let's round numbers. Our project, $300,000 project, minus the 30%, minus the incentives, was $190,000,
mm-hmm.
and the total cost to the municipality was $190,000.
Right. So it does, instead of total cost, it's basically we're looking at the net cost to the municipality.
Okay.
So that's the first.
So can we do that as just a really simple amendment? Just say net cost.
Net total cost.
Of
net.
Then, yeah, it would be whereas
50% of the net total cost of each solar infrastructure project.
Yeah.
The bottom
yeah.
whereas before
yeah.
the 100,000 was 120 by strike.
Would that satisfy you, Chair Bartels?
Net cost.
The net total cost.
Well, I don't think you need the word total. You would just say the net
yeah.
cost.
I just want to make sure I understand. Net cost would mean after like a federal rebate program or something like that.
Correct.
Right? After
yep.
anything. So basically, what the municipality is left required to cover, that we wouldn't cover more than 50% of what they're left required to cover, not
yep.
the total cost of the project.
Right. That was the intent.
Yeah.
Yep.
So okay, that's great. And then the other thing I wanted to bring up, you know, and this is going to be like a wide ranging, you know, we've heard this from our commissioner, I mean, from our planning director before about utilizing or incentivizing ARPA and other partnerships, but particularly ARPA with municipalities. As it relates to affordable housing or other things. I think this one's unique because it's solar, so it has a inherent benefit in terms of the environmental benefit, and if we're incentivizing, I mean, it's great that Marlboro's already along the way, but the ideal of this would be that we'd be incentivizing other communities to do it, and I do want to talk about how, you know, the outreach does to that, but when I was researching this, there's a, I guess it's like a local law. There's a state law that that allows for homeowners putting solar on their property to avoid an increase in their assessment as it relates to the installation of solar, because it could disincentivize wanting to put solar on. You know, you want to put solar on your house, you go through all this, you go through all the incentives, and then you get reassessed, and now the value of your house is $200,000 more because you have a $200,000 system, whatever, it's a round number.
Mm-hmm.
There are, Marlboro is one of them, but so is Gardner, one I looked on the state site. There, most municipalities in Ulster County opted in to this ability to freeze the assessment, to not allow for an increase of an assessment due to solar. And I feel that we should consider this resolution being contingent upon the municipalities actually considering opting in if they haven't already. Because the reality is we're trying to incentivize solar in municipalities using real money, ARPA money, and we have municipalities that are essentially disincentivizing solar for their constituents. And I think we should be maximizing the benefit by actually having those conversations with those municipalities that are still outliers.
So what's the
municipalities
pushback
that I represent are among them.
What's the pushback that we're going to get?
What's the pushback that we're going to get? I don't know. I don't know. But I think it's crazy to here we are going to fund and incentivize solar, and we have municipalities that, you know, in most cases, the lack of participation in that program goes way back. It's not like this just happened last year. It's like something that boards decided, whatever, 10 years ago, and they just haven't changed. Maybe they haven't kept up with the time. Maybe it hasn't been on their radar. And in fact, maybe they haven't been reassessing homes. Like, look at what's happened to the market value in the interim, especially due to COVID. Like, I hardly think that these municipalities have been going out and aggressively reassessing homes because of solar installations, but I think it's a backward situation. In the ideal world, we'd have every municipality in the county participating in allowing their citizens to get the full benefit of a solar installation without getting the hit of it actually being disincentivized because of an increase, even if that's on paper.
Right.
So I want us to think about, I do want us to think about that. And then lastly, and we can talk about it, I would like to have a sense of how many municipalities, again, going back to the idea of our commitments, especially since this brings us almost to the end, of our commitments against are having to commit by 24, which means which now we're finding out isn't assigning, is actually contracting. So it's like we almost need more people to get all this contracting done.
Right.
Contracting by 24, is there the will in the rest of the county to actually utilize this?
Let me talk to the contracting by 24. This is going to be a big guess on my part, but I think they're going to extend that deadline. Do you have a sense that they're going to extend that deadline?
Forgive me, but I don't. I'm not informed enough at that level to really.
All right. Yeah. I'm not either. But little things that I've read, I've seen people speculating that they're going to actually move that deadline. But I
can see how there might be a political push.
Right.
So I hear your points, but my question would be is why just this one? It wasn't put on any other resolution or any other expenditures of the $34 million. On we went out to water and sewer, we didn't say who's going to take it before we issue it. We just did a second round, and the money came back, and we did a second
round.
We
did go out. They went and they met with the supervisors, and they talked about
it. And we asked who was taking the money.
No, but we asked if there was the interest, and Parks, Eric Stewart went to the Supervisors Association, letters were sent to all supervisors, there was extensive discussions with supervisors, is there the interest, this is a bigger deal, it's a bigger investment for towns, so you may have a bunch of towns that say, not only do we not have a roof that's eligible, we don't have land where we can do it. I mean, I don't know. But it's a significant block on money if we're not going to hear back that there's going to be an aggressive sort of push to take it. I mean, I think we're offering an incredible benefit to towns. I would hope that they would take it. Like, I would want the response to be more than robust, maybe to be enough to switch the number back up. I mean, that's possible too.
So if I could ask you, the chair, to legislature, so it's like when you went to the Association of Supervisors, was it just a general question and they yayed, or they put it in writing, or?
Basically what I did with that resolution, also a follow-up resolution which is in progress, is that initially I went to the board, to the supervisors meeting. They have a breakfast meeting. Mm-hmm. I went there and I gave a little dog and pony show, and I asked, for the feedback at the meeting, and I got a good response, and I got further responses in writing from them as well.
Okay. Thank you.
The other thing that we could do is, like we did with water and sewers, we could, put the deadline out, see what happens with the first draw of application, and then we could have a reassessment of, do we need to release some of this? I mean, we'd have to create another resolution, right, to basically release if we don't find the interest, or we could put out a second round. I think we've got some options that we can do.
Yeah, and I mean, and the answer to the earlier question in terms of being able to revise ARPA is in part for things like that. Like, mm-hmm. if we're thinking of ARPA as rolling, if this moves forward at 2.5 and yet there's other projects, I mean, essentially we could be over allocating locally if we mm-hmm. knew we could, mm-hmm. we knew we could amend.
Sure.
On the back end, but
sure.
I do think it's a financial question for
yeah.
finance
yeah.
and for experts with taxation,
yeah.
et cetera.
Exactly.
I have no idea.
Exactly.
I don't
right.
know where that goes, but
right.
I think it's important because that allows us to think of these projects as a continuum.
Right. Right. Legislator Erner.
I have a different point of view about the idea of freezing an assessment. I understand some municipalities have done. I'm not sure if the city of Kingston has with respect to solar incentives. But, if we did that, then the property owner can reap the benefit, presumably, of the increased value if they go to sell it. So I'm just wondering why that's a thing, or if there are other things that are currently not taxed on real property comparably that we're trying to incentivize.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it is a thing that the property owner can reap the value of the increased value of the property as it relates to solar, but I think the shared value of not using greenhouse gases or having as big of a carbon footprint is worthwhile. I mean, in a dream world, everybody would have solar on their house, and even though that might make their homes more affordable, more valuable, the benefit to the greater good for all of us is exponential, both in terms of the use of resources and pollution, etc. So I think that's the thinking behind it. I don't know if there are other examples. And again, this legislation goes way back, at least 20 years back. So, and I know, I was surprised when I looked at the update, because I know that Gardner was a holdout, Shangham was a holdout. There's not many in Ulster County. Kingston was not mm-hmm. a holdout. Kingston opted in, and if you put solar on your property in Kingston, your impulse, Esopus, you're frozen. But to me, it was short thinking for municipalities to not opt in. Again, especially, and that's where I see a synergy in this, just in terms of making sure that our municipalities are not just thinking about their own power bills. You don't pay taxes on a municipal building, right? But for a home, I feel like if I were a municipal leader, I'd want as much solar and
mm-hmm.
rooftop solar, especially. I'd want as many solar powered homes in my community as possible.
So
but I'll look into if there are other things that it applies to as well, legislator, because I'm not sure if there are other examples where. I don't know them, but again, if I may, for one more
yeah.
second, we see it on the regular, as it relates to larger solar installations. that thing that we commonly, they're pilots, they're not reverse pilots, but we think of them as reverse pilots because we actually sign agreements that allow for us to receive money on solar installations that we would otherwise receive because of that same legislation, I think, because essentially it was trying to get as much solar installation happening as possible.
Two things real quick. On your comments, I mean, I totally agree that we should be approaching all the municipalities about trying to get on board, you know, with the solar. As far as the assessment issue goes, it gets a little complex in that a lot of people don't actually own the solar they have on their house. They lease it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, like I said, it does get, I would think, quite complex from an accounting sort of point of view. But all that said, like I said, I think that, you know, we should definitely be going after that. And that seems like low-hanging fruit to me. And back to Legislator Cochran's earlier question to me, I was going to say that despite the recent letter from James Quigley and Mike Baden, when I went to the Board of Town Supervisors, they were super friendly and super accommodating. So.
Good to hear.
This was the letter how they wanted to get rid of the legislature.
I think the one piece that I'm struggling with a little bit is putting a contingent like that in this resolution. I understand the reasoning, but it feels a little strong-army to me. Like, you can't get this funding unless you do this thing. And so I understand it, and I agree with it, but I'm. There's something that's not sitting right with me about it. So.
May I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can we maybe do something where it's part of, like, the rubric for if people are applying, we can say priorities given to municipalities that have already
that
opted
like.
Into blah, blah, blah?
Yep, that I like.
In the application itself,
I mean, I think that's a great idea, and I think it'll also open the conversation. I mean, this wasn't on my radar for a long time. Like, I forgot as it relates to my municipalities. And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, I definitely have to reach out to them. Talking, it may just be a conversation.
Sure.
You know, making our municipalities aware, the few that are outliers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
As far as which is why this is less of an example of strong-arming, because there's so few. And again,
right.
I doubt that there's I could be wrong, but I doubt that there is a strong impetus against this.
Right,
I think probably a hangover from years past.
Right.
But I do want to reiterate that Planner Doyle has been pretty firm and adamant in his recommendations that we make some funding conditional in way more extreme ways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's talking about making funding conditional upon communities addressing their zoning as it relates to density, or demanding that communities put a condition on any housing development that they have a percentage of affordable housing. I think I just recently read a letter from him that pointed out that the county planning board has reviewed in a very recent period of time over 500 unit applications of housing, and that iPark is talking about another 500, so that the market is responding to the need for housing, and of those 1,000 units, not one of them is affordable. So when we talk about strong-arming, you can look at it from strong-arming, and you can look at it as incentivizing, using our ability to incentivize, using what are essentially our funds. We can use these funds internally without sharing. Like, I think we've done amazing things in terms of sharing with the municipalities and for greater benefit, just looking at parks, water, sewer, and now this, we're talking about a significant portion. I mean, those three projects add up to 5, 6, 7 parks, 2 million? Essentially close to one-third of our ARPA funds going to municipalities.
Yep.
That's That's a lot, especially even compared to what our neighboring counties are doing.
Right.
So while we may have missed an opportunity to incentivize in the past, and this one is, we're talking about a minimal number of municipalities, so it may just be in the rubric.
Right.
But I do think it's worthy of discussion.
I like what you're saying, definitely, and I think that as we talk about using county funds in general moving
mm-hmm.
forward, this should be part of our conversation.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right, I'd like to move this along. I'd like to bring this up for a vote.
Well, do we have that amendment?
Oh, yes, that's right. We want to put that amendment in.
So that is an amendment.
Okay.
I need a motion for that.
So do I have a motion to add the word net in the, in whereas, I don't even know what number whereas.
Seven.
Whereas number seven, so we'll read as, could you read it, Michael?
Whereas and further... In furtherance of its goals, Ulster County wishes to partner with its municipalities to establish a program to match up to 50% of the net costs of each solar project with a maximum of $100,000 per project.
Okay.
So you're adding net and removing total.
Okay. I believe Legislator Sperry
made the motion.
Yeah,
motion
for that. Legislator Corcoran. And all in favor of that amendment?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The amendment passes. And then the resolution as amended.
Wait.
Oh.
Can you maybe speak out loud?
Yeah. At the last meeting, you had mentioned you were agreeable to put in EV charging stations.
That I think we had agreed that was already included in this language. That
not prohibited.
Solar.
It just says solar.
Yeah.
That we said all solar projects, right?
But EV isn't solar.
Legislator Corcoran, you had an answer to this last meeting.
I thought there was some wording in there that adopted it.
Can I comment while everyone's
yeah, yeah.
So I think, first of all, I think it would be, we'd have to make a couple tweaks, but I think the main tweak would be in the same whereas,
mm-hmm.
And it would be an or, you know, it would be solar infrastructure or EV charging, whatever the language would be. But I have to say, the incentives are pretty substantial for EV charging from the Federal Infrastructure Act,
mm-hmm.
and especially as we're talking about timing, that makes this resolution that much more attractive to me because, I mean, we've got to get there, and the infrastructure does not exist right now in terms of charging, and there are not going to be new gasoline-powered cars in the near term. Like, that's happening. Like, it's real. Everybody, we could have a debate or discussion and pretend it's not happening. It's happening. Multiple manufacturers have already committed.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, what's happening is that the infrastructure for one branded vehicle is robust,
mm-hmm.
and for every other vehicle is not, in terms of high speed. You cannot plug in your car and wait for 48 hours to get a charge. Now, most people's vehicles get charged overnight, and that's going to get better and better. But if you're driving a certain distance, like we need to get there. So especially if I heard Legislator Petit correctly, especially if you have municipalities who wouldn't benefit from a solar infrastructure project but might look at this and say, wow, that's going to make it that much more attractive for me to put in an EV charging project, whether it's for the municipality to use so they make a transition or it's for the public to use, I think that's a win-win. Like, that totally broadens this in a way that I feel even more excited and less concerned about supervisors'
okay.
ability.
I'd love to hear from the author.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. We had talked, and I apologize that it wasn't amended when we did the amendments on the numbers, but so on the seventh, whereas I would propose the amendment to solar infrastructure or EV charging transportation, EV charging projects, Alan, however you want to word it.
EV charging projects, is that
so
what
the net cost of each solar infrastructure or EV charging projects?
May I make a friendly suggestion that in the previous whereas, you see where it says solar projects, or can you add or EV charging there too?
No.
Solar or EV charging projects.
Make sure it's consistent between those two whereas.
Uh-huh. Say it again.
I said just make sure it's consistent between the two whereases. So it puts solar project or EV charging.
Yes.
I want to say again that that change actually totally changes my hesitation
mm-hmm.
about the ability for communities to participate.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Should we get
and not money? Yet, but I also want to say that it may end up resulting
mm-hmm.
in us wanting to put more money in this. Again, back to our earliest conversation.
Sure.
If we can be responsible for incentivizing
yep.
broadly
yep.
This happening across our community and in an expeditious
yep.
fashion, that's a total
yep.
win.
Legislator Petit, thank you for bringing that
yeah.
to the table.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I think that's a great.
That's
are you comfortable with this?
So the amendment on the sixth whereas would be towards the end, it would say of various solar or EV charging projects throughout Ulster County. And on the seventh, whereas, which we just corrected, after the net cost of each solar infrastructure or EV charging projects.
All right, and you're
can
making that motion.
The word
oh.
I just think it weakens it.
Whatever you want, that's fine with me.
See the next page or
so.
Yes.
All right.
Delete the word various in whereas six, advancement of solar or EV charging
strong.
Projects.
Legislator Erner.
So as long as we're being technical here, thank you. Have we defined in county law anywhere what we mean by solar infrastructure? Because naively, to me, solar just means related to the sun. But I hear us talking about electrical, basically photovoltaics or something along capturing sunlight to do electrical things. Can we be more specific about that, or do we not have to? Because that's already in county law somewhere.
Don't have to, and at this point, I'd rather not. I'd rather see that solar project. It opens, I think it leaves enough room where my mistake was. I thought there was room in there for the EV, which there was not. But I think with the EV and or solar project, I think there's enough room in there.
Legislator Bartels?
So I'm going to also answer that question from my perspective, but offer one more amendment. I don't think we need to clarify it in this, but when we get to the point of what the contract is going to, what the specifics of the contract and proposal
mm-hmm.
are going to look like,
mm-hmm.
That's where if we need any further, I think there's a universal understanding of what we're talking about, solar PV for electricity, but
mm-hmm.
if that would come about with the contract, there's going to be a lot of specifics in
sure.
the contract and in the call for projects,
yep.
which is that's going to continue
yep.
in detail.
That makes sense.
On the second page, page two of the resolution for create capital project number 659, I would offer ARP solar and EV charging infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Okay.
Change.
All right. Can I make amendment for that we
accept I was just
all
gonna,
the
perfect.
Make a motion that we accept all the three insertions of for EV charging. Two insertions of or EV charging in whereas one in whereas six, one in whereas seven, and EV charging
project.
In the language the project.
Great. So you made that motion.
Made that
somebody
motion.
Want to second it?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. On the resolution as
amendment. Sorry, because I just saw the title of the resolution.
Everywhere,
just amending.
Yeah.
Got it.
ARP again.
Okay.
ARP solar.
I don't think that requires another amendment, though.
It probably doesn't, but let's just do it. I don't think it does either, actually, since it's just a title.
I don't think it does either.
Okay.
So
we just want to make sure it's a title.
I think that's right.
Excuse me.
Right.
Like that? Yeah. Okay.
All right. On the resolution as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any
yeah.
opposed? Excellent. Again, thank you, Legislator Corcoran.
Yes.
Thank you, Legislator Petit, for bringing this to the team. I think this is really going to be great for our county.
Yes.
All right.
That was actually a really good conversation. Thank you, and I think
I was going to say the same thing. I was so thrilled by that whole conversation. I wanted to thank Laura for bringing us and putting us.
Yep.
And also, Tom, what an awesome resolution. Thank you.
Yeah.
You're here.
It's great.
Nicely done. Oh, wait, I should take a picture of that.
Cross party line.
That's great.
Meta Joe is excited beyond.
That's great. That's great.
Teamwork makes the dream work.
All right. Motion to discuss resolution 88.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All right, here we go. Legislature Stewart.
Thank you. First of all, I wanted to thank the chair for allowing me to come in and speak, even though this is kind of back ass words a bit, because I should have been here for the previous meeting. Unfortunately, I was not. Just very quickly, I wanted to just read a very quick paragraph from Emily Vail. Emily Vail is the director of the Hudson River Watershed Alliance, and this is the group that would be receiving the funds in order to hire this administrative assistant, who would then be working on behalf of all these other groups. Combined, the Rondout Creek Watershed and Wallkill River Watershed includes 16 of the 24 municipalities in Ulster County. The Ulster County Water Quality Coordinating Committee works countywide to provide a coordinated and collaborative approach to protect and improve the waters of Ulster County and ensure the resilience of our watershed. Community-based groups like the Rondout Creek Watershed Alliance and the Wallkill River Watershed Alliance can directly support municipalities and help achieve shared goals. For example, the Wallkill River Watershed Alliance supports Ulster County municipalities with required MS4, which is Municipal Separate Storm Sewer Systems, reporting, and many watershed actions are eligible for Climate Smart Communities certification. The Hudson River Watershed Alliance is a Kingston-based 501c3 nonprofit that has been working collaboratively with these other groups for many years. And then the communities, municipalities that are directly affected by this legislation would include Kenning, the village of Ellenville, Esopus, the towns of Esopus, Gardner, Hurley, the city of Kingston, the towns of Marbletown and New Paltz, the village of New Paltz, the town of Olive, the town of Plattekill, the town of Rochester, the town of Rosendale, as well as the towns of Shawangunk, Ulster, and Worcester. And so I'm hoping that you guys will approve this $35,000 spending request. And like I said, that money would be used to fund an administrative position within the Hudson River Watershed Alliance, who would work on projects for the three groups mentioned, and again, those three groups are the Rondout Creek Watershed Alliance, the Wallkill River Watershed Alliance, and the Ulster County Water Quality Coordinating Committee. So,
thank you.
So thank you.
I wanted to let you know what the scoring was for this. So the overall total was 29%. On goals and mission, it got 40%. On equity distribution, it got 24%. Community impact, 31%. And financial management, 24%. Primarily, the feedback was favorable for aspects of the project, but questioned whether ARPA funding is appropriate and allowable under ARPA restrictions. So that was the general flavor of the scoring. But I'd love to open it to the committee for questions or comments, thoughts on this this potential project.
Future funding?
Future funding. This is going to, funding for this position is going to appear on the Department of Environment for next year and for the following year.
Chair Bartels?
So, yeah, I mean, I feel like the appropriate, if it was going to be ARPA funded, unfortunately, I feel like it, the most appropriate place would have been through the not-for-profit call for projects.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember what happened with the timeline of that or why they didn't apply for
they
that.
They missed that deadline.
Yeah, so that's, so that's, like, that's where it makes most sense to me. Like, I, did you change the resolution? Did it always have the Ulster County Water Quality Coordinating?
No, I went back to this Hudson River Watershed Alliance, and they said, well, you know what, we can actually, and I said that one of the issues was that it was narrowly focused at the time on just the Rondop Creek Watershed Alliance. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know what, the same administrative mm-hmm. position, and since time has elapsed since this, you know, was initially introduced, they were like, well, you know what, they don't necessarily have to spend all their time working with the Rondop Creek Watershed Alliance, but then we can also include these other groups, because the Hudson River Watershed Alliance acts as a umbrella group for all of these other watersheds.
Right. So that, when I saw that, that, you know, I, as you do, even though it's a county thing, I Googled it and read, and I thought, wow, why would we, like, that's actually a county organization. Like, it's planning and environment and all that, mm-hmm. so I don't know that we would need, like, we would need to pay an outside organization to staff a county organization. Like the only non county entity that I even saw in that group was, I want to say, maybe Cornell. I mean, mm-hmm. it was, you know, it's mostly county departments, mm-hmm. but yeah, I mean, I struggle with this, and Legislator Stewart and I have talked about it a bunch, especially like going back to the initial request in the budget, which, you know, I'm heartened to hear that that it makes sense, like, in, from the executive's perspective, it makes sense to contain in the executive budget next year, because it's something that I've always, as a legislator, struggled with as it relates to what feel like member items. You know, like, I voted, I have, it's funny to hear Minority Leader Ronk bring up that I voted against funding for the Walkill River Watershed, direct funding for the Walkill River Watershed Alliance during a budget package, and that's, I mean, my personal property's on the Walkill River, and my two communities are directly impacted by the Walkill River. So it's like I voted against my own interest, but because I feel so strongly about the legislative initiatives, but therein then lies the question of, like, okay, like, where, if anywhere, does it make sense to get it funded? You know, I appreciate certainly the value of both the organizations, and I don't know, is the Walkill, the Hudson River Watershed Alliance is a 501c3.
Yes.
My understanding is the Rondout Creek, the reason it has to go to the Hudson River is because the Rondout Creek isn't a 501c3, right?
The Rondout Creek Watershed Alliance has no tax status.
Do you know, does the Walkill River Watershed Alliance have tax status?
Unfortunately, I am not sure,
okay.
Although that's a much larger organization than the Rondout Creek Watershed Alliance. So,
I mean, I think it's really important that these the conversations and the work that they're doing continues to happen. But again, I struggle with it for ARPA. But that's also to say, it's like I struggle with it in general, which is Legislator Stewart's heard, like I struggle with it in general.
Right.
You know, not, but that's not to say that I don't think the Roundout Creek Watershed Alliance is worthy.
I wish we could find ways to fund this through energy and environment, or through a more appropriate, through other county dollars, and I can't quite figure out how to do that. Yeah.
And that sort of comes full circle, and that's why I don't want to come across as disingenuous, because we've had this conversation from the start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each of us knows of organizations that are worthy of getting funding, right? Especially when you're talking about not-for-profit, or even in this case, we're not even talking about not-for-profit, we're talking about a community organization that isn't organized in an official, legal way, right? And if each of us did that, like if each of us said, okay, let's bring it to environment, let's get this organization funded, let's get this organization, let's get this, there's 23 of us,
right.
And very quickly, and that's why I've regularly had concerns about it, very quickly we, you know, we hit a point where it actually has an implication on the tax levy, right? Where we're talking about that when we talk about reducing taxes last year, that number that we reduced it by, we probably offset with each of us bringing a certain number to the table of a worthy organization. And that's one of those things, like we're getting a little off course, that's one of those things that I think is challenging as legislators, because we think of our jobs as being representative of our specific communities, and yet the function of mostly what we do is county, is a countywide function, right? It's like most of what we deal with in a budget is not specific to Marlboro or Gardner or Kingston.
Right.
In fact, Kingston representatives are regularly telling us how they're left out of what our funding covers, right? Our highways and bridges don't go to Kingston funding. But social services, our social services mandate isn't even covered by property tax. So it's, again, it's an issue that I'm sure the legislature will struggle with long after I'm gone.
Other thoughts from committee members on this resolution? All right, I'm going to take a vote. All in favor? All opposed? Aye. Okay, the resolution fails. And could I have a motion to discuss resolution 89?
Motion. I'm withdrawing that resolution.
Withdrawing. Okay.
In fact, I thought it had already been withdrawn, but.
Ah, okay.
So.
All right. Motion to discuss resolution 131.
Motion.
And a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All righty. So this is the water tank for town of Ulster. Contract execution is part of the water and sewer program. Contract will allow for partial funding for the replacement of a water storage tank within the town of Ulster. And is there anything else that we need to know about this
project? Withdrawal.
Oh, that's self-explanatory. This is one of our many water and sewer awards. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Alrighty. So this passes. And for our last resolution, could I have a motion for discussion for resolution 132?
Motion to discuss resolution number 132.
Thank you. And a second.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
To discuss.
This is discussion. Okay. So I was a little confused about this, and I think I got it straight. So what we have passed already, in my understanding, is the policy for the respite house and the so it was the policy and the establishing of the capital project. Or no, this is the resolution that actually establishes the capital project. So we've already dedicated the funding, and we've already created a policy for the respite houses. So this is actually just a procedural effort to actually create the capital project. Yes, Chair Bartels.
So, I guess I'm wondering, who put this in, is my first question.
Who put this in?
Yeah.
Eve, yeah. Because it wasn't actually established.
He's not even on the resolution. Like, did Eve actually put the resolution in?
She spoke to me about it. Is she not listed? She's not listed. Okay, so she listed me.
I mean, the reason I ask is, so this didn't come from the ARPA team?
I'm happy to address.
Yeah, because we did have this discussion that we had to do this procedurally. So could you just explain
absolutely
it better than I could?
I'm happy to speak on this resolution.
please.
So I drafted this resolution, I did have a email communication with Eve as well. And the way I, just as introduction, I want to frame this resolution, because
there's a significant amount of funding authority that we're asking for in this resolution, and I don't want to ignore that at all. But I do want to frame this resolution as a question, and I think it's appropriate to say that from Department of Finance. I fully understand that it's a funding resolution, but it's a clarifying resolution for us in that the question is, was Resolution 28 of 2022, which dedicated funding in the amount of $1.5 million to the Respite House program, which was previously approved in 2021 by another resolution making a policy for the Respite House program, was that Resolution 28 dedicating funding an actual funding resolution? Is where it lies.
I asked the same question. I asked the exact same question because I thought we already did this. I thought this was done. We've already funded this, and we were finished with it. So, Chair Bartels.
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem. And this is like, it's almost like I'm not going to pull her in right now, but Amber would be helpful to have here. Part of the problem, from my perspective, is that ARPA has changed everything in a negative way as it relates to capital projects. Never before ARPA did we just create capital projects. This is a capital project, but with ARPA, and this isn't because of the ARPA division. The three of you have nothing to do with this. This is actually a finance division question. But you will recall Amber and I had a lot to say on this and eventually just stopped arguing, but I still believe in Amber's assertion and my understanding that much of what we funded and created as capital programming is not capital programming by the definition, by the legal definition. Like, grants aren't capital program. Grants for programs aren't capital programming.
Mm-hmm.
That was done to expedite budgeting, to allow for a budget rollover, which meant that at the end of a year there didn't have to be journal changes. All this stuff gets very technical, and I'm not a financial expert, and that had to do with finances side of the house. I think it was a mistake. What concerns me about seeing, like, we did pass a resolution that said it's whatever, I don't have it in front of me, but that we're designating $1.5 million funding in the amount of 1.5 shall be designated for addressing the need for enhanced mental health and addiction recovery services throughout the county, and that, from my memory, was Legislator Walter's effort to ensure that respite houses were in here as well, not just the other aspect, because we were dealing with crisis stabilization and respite houses in one resolution.
Right.
Normally, pre-ARPA, when we see the creation of a capital project, it's at the time that we're actually, like, we're about to fund. Like, we've done something, and now we have to purchase the property, or now we have to do this. It's like, the amount of authority we're giving, and that's what, to Nate's point, passing this, basically, I'm not suggesting you would do it, but says, gives the authority of, like, okay, now the $1.5 million is, there it is. Like, we're set loose. We do that a lot in ARPA. We approve a cap, like we just did. We approve a $2.5 million capital project. We haven't seen the call for projects drafting. We haven't seen what a sample contract would look like. Normally, that would be included as backup. There's no backup, right? There's nothing other than a bunch of other resolutions. So, I mean, I think it's probably premature in terms of creating a capital project unless you're telling me that there are properties that we're ready to buy or some programming that we're ready to invest in and that we've done a certain amount of work to that end, because we're not actually, like, we're not doing anything other than giving a blank check to go ahead.
I was
going
to say, to me, it was about locking this in. and saying we are locking in $1.5 million for these respite houses. That, to me, was Legislator Walter's intention, mm-hmm. was that it would be...
In the previous resolution, in S-28.
No, in this one.
But this wasn't by her initiative, was it?
It was.
It was requested.
It was, actually. This was a conversation with Legislator Walter.
I had an email communication where I expressed exactly what I was planning to do.
No, it was initiated by Nate. And
I drafted it and I submitted it to the executive, and I'm quite certain the executive had some communication with Legislator Walter. And
And
I responded to one of those communications and let her know what I was going to do and got an assent.
Right.
Again, I just feel like what we're doing here, you know, we're hearing how there's, you know, and I understand there's an incredible amount of work, how we're backlogged on getting all this other stuff, and yet we're trying to just, like, we're ceding a tremendous amount of authority.
Right.
Is what I say.
I hear what you're saying. Yes, Legislator Sperry.
Thank you. I appreciate that because it really kind of organized my thoughts about what's happening in this process, and I'm curious to know how close we are to actually identifying properties.
I can speak slightly on that. Although I'm not directly involved in that process, I know that there has been a property identified in Ellenville. I understand that there was at least one site visit with multiple folks from the executive side to assess the property. My expectation, I can't say exactly when, but, you know, of course, I think there's work to get an appraisal and a number of things together, and my expectation is that there would be at some point a contract resolution going in front of the legislature.
Okay, follow-up.
Yep.
Because the resolution originally was for two respite houses that were geographically spread out. And so I'm wondering if we want to honor this capital project designation as a package, or if this is something that we're going to be doing one project at a time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I would feel, I like to incentivize getting that other one identified, I would want to be, like, I want it to be a package.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys understand what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, just a question. By package, do you mean like a contract package, so there'd be two purchases at the same time? Or?
Yeah.
And I think there's just like a, we've identified one. We don't want to miss out. I think this is fair to say on what I see happening. We've identified one. We don't want to miss an opportunity for a purchase. A second might be longer term. And so there's just, like, administratively, there's just a piece of capturing one while we can. And with the contract resolution, I hope the legislature will be able to see what's remaining as well.
So here's my question. I thought that Legislator Walter was the initiator of this. But now I'm understanding you were. So what? So what was your impetus? What was the initial impetus to make this resolution?
Clarification
of
the intent of Resolution 28.
But I guess.
Yes.
So why wouldn't if you were looking for clarification, why wouldn't you have a conversation first rather than drafting and submitting a resolution? Like, that seems like a dysfunctional way of communicating.
Here's the thing: is I don't want this resolution to be any problem. But there's 23 legislators, and it was, but Resolution 28 was voted on by the body of the legislature, and there were conversations certainly among the executive side and I had had my own communication by email with Legislature Walter. I think there, and I also had conversations with Clerk Feaster, and I also had conversations with Legislator Criswell, and there was, and also, of course, within finance, and there was confusion about And also, I heard from Deputy Contreras, you know, I think there were a number of people who thought the funding was ready to go. And if it's not, I think that needs to be made clear. And so I think there was enough discussion that bringing it in front of the legislature for clarification made sense.
Legislator Petit.
Thank you. I'm just looking at, you know, the historical part of it. So Resolution 426 was the policy where it does say it needs to be geographically
situated
and have a minimum of 8 beds. And there's also language in there that the RFP should be forwarded to the legislative clerk. And then, of course, we had where we pulled the funding out, so there's 3.5 for the stabilization center and 1.5 for respite. So did an RFP go out? Because generally we don't see where we're actually dedicating that funding and approving it until an RFP has gone out.
Yep.
So are we at that stage yet?
I'd like to get more details on the RFP, but my understanding is that that RFP is moving, and I believe it has gone out. And I can be happy to get back with further information on that question. That's a good question.
We were just chatting. We think there was something at the Health Committee meeting in February, correct? Or
February.
But Legislator Walter wasn't there, so we tabled it. But that's right.
My understanding of this was it was really a kind of a paperwork issue of actually just locking in that $1.5 million as a capital project. Like, we had already approved it as a policy, and that's what this resolution was doing. But if I'm misreading that, then I need to understand that. Chair Bartels?
So what I'm wondering, so we dedicated that $5 million for crisis stabilization and respite. Does anyone have the information on what capital projects, if any, were created related to that funding? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is Capital Project 598, and that was one of the, forgive me if this, it was an original bucket project, and it was a bucket project for mental health. And there were two things that have been funded out of that, one of which is, I believe, crisis stabilization, and the other is respite house. And so this, I think it's easier if each project, now that they're identified, has its own capital project number. So this resolution, in addition to funding, would create a separate capital project just for respite house, to try to address the fact that there's two projects in 598.
Okay. Chair Bartels?
Just to be clear, I'm trying to find Resolution 598.
No, it's Capital Project.
Capital Project 598. Did we pass it by? Did we create it via a resolution?
I believe it was the initiating resolution for the buckets, which was 2021, and I think it's 333.
Resolution.
Let me check.
That would be important, because if we already created a capital project of $5 million, that means we're authorizing $5 million of spending, and then if we're now creating this project, that's
right
on top of it.
We'd have to reduce that.
We'd have to rescind.
Initial.
I mean, I think
project.
We need to know what resolution was that? 333 of 2021.
Let me make sure I got the number right.
Yeah, that was.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if we create a capital.
Right, exactly right.
What are we doing?
That's exactly right. We weren't here.
We do have Resolution 547, which is all of the budget amendments.
Yeah, 333 of 2001 was...
Stabilization centers from there.
Resolution 333 of 2001 to
2020. 2020, I think. I know there's a lot of history.
Oh, you're supposed to pass this. Amendment 3, Resolution Number 425.
Establishing. Oh, yeah, there's the giant bucket one. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't.
But 547 is 7 has a breakdown in there too, where you established it in a capital project, as a capital project.
Yeah, but I mean, if I may.
Yeah,
I mean,
please.
But so we created a capital project of $5 million,
right,
which this was intended to be a part of.
Right.
Legislator Walter put in that other resolution to clarify that at least $1.5 million
right,
of
respite.
That $5 million needs to go to respite houses.
Right.
598 still stands. Like, I just think that, I feel like this needs some more.
I agree with you, because I feel like what her fear is that if it's not, if there's not sharp lines drawn around the 1.5 million, some of that could get used into, say, the costs go over for the Crisis Stabilization Center and it turns into 4 million rather than 3.5, then $500,000 from the respite, what's supposed to be for respite houses, would all of a sudden get subsumed into those costs. I think that's what she was trying to do.
So if that's the case, then this, I mean, if that's what we need to do, then we need to also amend capital project number 598 to
3.5.
To be 3.5.
I totally agree with you. I think that's what we should do. I think we should amend that, have one that's specifically for the Crisis Stabilization Center and one that's specifically for the
respite houses. Was there a different capital project number for crisis stabilization?
I don't think
no,
so. I don't think so.
And I tried to put as many of those. I didn't go all the way back to 333,
yeah,
but I tried to put a number of the details.
But I think you're right, because I think by passing this, we would then all of a sudden it would become 5 million plus 1.5 million, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and we don't want to do that. So
you did go back to 333.
Did I? Thank
yeah.
you.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that suggestion very much. I think we should go back to that original resolution where we created the $5 million bucket. Whatever, and we need to rescind that and
amend. It would have to
amend
this resolution.
So we'd amend that. Would we have to then create a new resolution for 3.5?
I think you'd have to put it in. I mean, I guess the question is, how much has been expended on resolution on capital project 598 right now? Have they exceeded 3.5? That's not what was authorized, but have they expended more than 3.5?
Right.
So the only crisis stabilization, then, is the only thing that's been funded,
mm-hmm,
and that has been funded in the amount of $2,175,000.
That was the purchase,
right? So it was $2 million for the purchase, $175,000 for architect and engineering,
mm-hmm, right?
And that's how that got funded,
right?
And that's what we have. In
so there's still a million. There's still a million and change left for that, right?
1.4.
Well, so
I'm not sure about
so
that.
So when we're talking about just actual funding for capital project 598, and this is coming from finance,
sure,
but it's $2,175,000.
Right.
That's what we have.
So we have $1.4 million left for Crisis Stabilization Center, and
no, that's a separate 1.5, right? That was 3.5 for the Crisis Stabilization, right?
We could have a separate meeting and break this all down, because it gets complicated. But
so,
have
so
to
we allocated $5 million total,
mm-hmm,
for this project, which is two components. One is the Crisis Stabilization Center, which we said $3.5 million, and one is two respite houses at $1.5
million. Well, I think it's more than three respite. It was a minimum, right? It says
minimum
here,
of
two.
Two.
It says, it shall be the policy of Ulster County to have 7 to 10 day respite houses in Ulster County, geographically spread out across the county, providing a minimum of 8 beds overall.
Correct.
That's what it says.
Yeah, but it's seven to ten days, not 7 to 10 houses.
Oh, 7 to 10 days. Okay.
Yeah, it's
and
two houses. The intention was two houses at 7 to 10 days.
Okay, got
spread
it.
Out. So what we're looking at is we've got this $5 million bucket. And you're saying that 2.1 has been spent already, or 2.2 almost.
Has been funded.
Has been
so
funded.
The capital project can be created. There can be, I'd have to look back at 333 to see exactly how it was termed.
Okay.
There can even be like the, you know, anticipated amount of $5 million. But there's no funding of the capital project yet.
Okay.
And honestly, I can go back to our, you know, interim commissioner of finance
to get the, all the details, but the project can be created, not funded, but then it has to be funded.
Okay.
There's a whole process
right.
to it.
Yeah, I think it was our mistake lumping that all together to begin with. We probably should have actually done two separate
resolutions
saying 3.5 for this project and 1.5 for that project, but we didn't. Yes, Chair Barker.
But I also would say, again, it's like this gets into all kinds of technical things. Creating a capital project doesn't mean it has to be funded.
Right.
You know, it's like we're protecting.
Is it aspirational?
No disrespect, but like this is a resolution, and that's why conversation would have helped. I feel like this is a resolution protecting us from ourselves.
So that we don't know that we have
1.5 million
exactly.
going to Rexford houses.
Right.
And honestly, if it were up to us, we'd already have houses in front of us to fund.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, are we going to suddenly say, oh no, when if someone comes and says, here under 598, we need to spend another $3 million on X
mm-hmm.
instead? I think we'd all say, well, what about the Rexford houses?
Right.
And
right, right.
Just creating a capital project, which. Again, I feel okay with creating a capital project specifically for respite houses, but that was going to necessitate
mm-hmm.
amending the
mm-hmm.
other capital project. And I don't feel like we have a full set of information here right now. Amber's not in the office.
Right.
So it's like, I'm trying to ask her right now how much totally has been spent on 598.
Well, Nate just answered that. He just said.
I have the answer in my mind. And yeah, 217. Well,
2174.
Funded.
Funded is different. I've heard that there were more expenses than we thought. Because we funded it at a purchase price, but then there were additional fees that were beyond. I've heard that it's bigger than we expected.
Okay.
I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what I'm saying. Like I don't know.
Right.
That's for the crisis stabilization center. Yeah.
All right. So, do we want to just postpone this for the moment until we can sort through whether we want to amend the original resolution creating 3.5 for crisis stabilization and then looking at this again and saying, we'll add this one in. Yes, Chair Barker.
The short answer would be yes, so that we could get correct about the other amendment.
Mm-hmm.
My longer answer is one to state on the record, and I don't expect to post that to Walter, but she didn't answer, so she must be at home. To just express my commitment to a minimum expenditure of 1.5
mm-hmm.
to the resolution that we passed, minimum expenditure of 1.5
right.
on the respite homes, should it cost that much. Obviously,
right.
if it costs less, it costs less. But
right.
the complication is. But it's probably not that much of a complication. I mean, is there a situation where we need to purchase a home but the money's not there? I would say that the short answer, I'm trying to think through, the short answer to that is going to be no. Because even if you were ready to purchase a house, you would have to, unless the house costs less than $50,000, you'd need to come to the legislature
right.
with a resolution.
Right.
So
right.
not like you can go purchase, it's not like passing this allows
right.
you to purchase a house in the next,
right.
you know,
right.
30 days without legislative approval.
Right.
That's not true. So
right.
anything that we, any action as a result of this would require legislative approval if it was over $50,000.
Right.
So
right.
I actually don't think we're really affecting anything by this. I think we should get this right, but I don't want
yep.
to wait to. It was unanimous consent to 1.5 million.
I agree.
So
let me just ask: is the wait gonna muck anything up in terms of there's something hot being looked at right now?
I will reach out to Deputy Director Contreras,
okay.
Who is the deputy
oh, yeah.
working with the mental health ARPA initiative.
Okay,
and. And ask the question, and also, and please know that the conversation is valuable to,
yeah.
to me and to finance.
Yeah.
To, and I don't. I'm glad to just put this out there just
yeah.
to get clarity. And so I will reach out to her.
Okay.
And.
But to Chair Bartels. To Chair Bartels' point, if tomorrow there was a house for $100,000 that came on the market, we all said, "Oh, this is the perfect place. We want to get it." we would get a resolution for the purchase of the house, and we could just do that under the previous resolution, right? I mean, there would be no issue with it. We wouldn't have to have this 1.5 locked in place. It would just go under the larger bucket of the $5 million.
Yeah, and I'm going to express that as well.
Okay.
But I want to touch base with her because she is could help with me knowing more about.
Okay. So I'm going to recommend that we postpone this and just have further conversation and get clarification of do we need it, do we not need it? If we do need it, what do we need to do to then rescind the other one and make this one clear?
Wonderful.
Thank you for that roundabout discussion. Thank you, Chair Bartels, for your input on that. All right.
I mean, it looks like they already have numbers. They already have capital numbers. Is that what you're looking to create?
But where?
In the capital plan. Maybe they don't. On page 68 and 71 of our capital plan.
For Resta House?
Yeah. Project number 598.
But that's the budget, and I don't know if the budget's been funded. I'd have to go back to it. It is a technical detail, and I heard that.
All right. Well, we're going to postpone it. Do we have to vote on that postponement?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, motion postponed.
Do you want to just take no action on it?
I think I want to postpone it, actually. Yeah. So, motion postponed. Second.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We're going to postpone that. And we'll postpone it for 1 month. Is that? Yeah. That's what we're going to do here.
And hopefully you'll find another property.
Yeah.
I agree. We have not forgotten that too. I believe that was in one of the resolutions. Yes, we still
have
that.
I agree.
Great.
I have some new business.
I was just going to ask if anybody has new business.
I do.
Yes, please.
Here we go.
No. I just want to let you guys know, because I'm on the board for Cornell Cooperative Extension, and I'm also a legislator, and I don't know why else I've been tapped for this. But I was brought into a conversation with Cornell and the 4-H program manager, Melanie Borstrom, and they want to do an anti-racism teen group from different high schools around the area, and they want to do a visit to the legislative office because they want teens to understand that we work for them as well. And
awesome.
So I had recommended, they're going to meet with Jen and Essie over in the executive's office, and then I said that I would meet them here and do a quick tour of the chambers, but to also talk about current resolutions.
Why don't you discuss Resolution 132? That would be exciting.
I'm going to discuss current resolutions that talk about diversity and kind of racist efforts in the county. Wait, what was the actual term we were using? Legislation that is addressing systemic oppression. So this meeting is going to be on Tuesday, April 4th, and they're coming late in the afternoon. They're meeting with Essie and Jen from 3 to 4 p.m., and I said I would meet with them at 4:30 over in Legislative Chambers. And so if anybody wants to join, that would be great. We do have an economic development meeting that evening, so if you wanted to come a little bit early and participate, mm-hmm. that would be awesome.
What day is it?
Tuesday, April 4th.
Next Tuesday.
Calendar says economic development's on Monday.
Yeah, it's moved to Monday.
It is?
For Passover, Saturday, the 3rd.
All right, well, I'm still going to be here to give a tour because I said I would.
There's a Public Works Committee meeting that night, though, on Tuesday.
All right. So, and then after they leave here, they're going to walk down to the Restorative Justice Center, and they're going to meet with Tyrone, Kathleen, and Nina at 733 Broadway. So anyways, I just want to put that on your radar. Secondly, if anybody is interested in doing a tour of the Rose House in Walden, please let me know, and Michael, maybe we can set it up. I'll connect you with the person that I have a contact with at People USA.
That's great. Do you know how long that's been in operation for, that Rose House?
I don't.
Eve and I talked to them about this. It's been several years. It's been at least 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly, but we did discuss the house with them, saw pictures of it and everything.
Okay.
It's nice. I think it's like a little Victorian. I can't remember. Yeah. We're in this house. So.
And it's been very successful.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
That's my new business.
Thank you. Any other unfinished business? Anything we need to talk about? All right.
We changed that to old business to unfinished.
Unfinished business. remember, our next meeting is also a morning meeting. Thank you again for accommodating that, and then we'll go back to a regular schedule. And we're now back in our regular schedule where we are back in rhythm, where our scores are now going to the committees in a timely fashion. We were kind of in that backwards place for a couple of the first meetings, but now we're back in the correct sync. So thank you for that. All right, motion to adjourn. In a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all so much. Much appreciated.
Motion to say
Yeah, I'm